If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us now confess our sins to God our Father, most merciful God. We confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his own mercy and grace, has given his own Son to die for us. And for his sake, he forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained servant of the word, I therefore announce the forgiveness of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and their praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
God, heavenly King,
pray together. O King of glory, Lord of hosts, uplifted in triumph far above all heavens, leave us not without consolation, but send us the Spirit of truth, whom you promised from the Father, for you live and reign with him and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. You may be seated.
Reading for the seventh Sunday of Easter is from Acts chapter 1. Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying. Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. All these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the brothers. The company of persons was in all about 120. and said, "Brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in this ministry. Now this man bought a field with the reward of his wickedness, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his bowels gushed out. And it became known to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the field was called, in their own language, Al-Kadama, that is, field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, 'May his camp become desolate, and let there be no one to dwell in it, and let another take his office.' So one of the men who had accompanied us during the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these men must become with us a witness to his resurrection." And they put forward two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was also called Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, "You, Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place." And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from the Revelations to St. John, chapter 22. "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever." And he said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true, and the Lord, the God of the servants of the prophets, has sent his angel to show his servants what must soon take place. And behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed them to me. But he said to me, 'You must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers, the prophets, and with those who keep the words of this book. Worship God.' And he said to me, 'Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Let the evildoer still do no evil, and the filthy still be filthy, and the righteous still do right, and the holy still be holy. Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me, to repay everyone for what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life, and that they may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs and sorcerers and the sexually immoral and murderers of idolaters and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come,' and let the one who hears come, and let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. He who testifies to these things says, 'Surely I am coming soon.' Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." This is the word of the Lord.
O Holy Gospel for this day is written in the book of St. John, the 20th chapter. This text will serve as the basis for our meditation and are the words taken from Jesus' high priestly prayer, which is the same night in which he is betrayed, the night before his crucifixion. Jesus said, "I do not ask, Father, only for these, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I have made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them." This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be richly and abundantly poured out upon you. Our text once again is taken from John chapter 17, verses 20 to 28. The projection slides will be there, and if you'd like to follow along in the Pew Bibles, that's great also. And if you need help operating your iPhone to find it, Denton and Ridley are there and will be there soon to help you. Just raise your hand. We do want to just say as we begin, as we look at heaven and as we look at our relationship with God, in Christ, I would like to tell you today that you are BFFs with God in Christ. How many of you know what a BFF is? That's good. Well, that's really good. Glad to see so many hands there. It's best friends forever with God. In Christ, that's who we are. And so I'd just like to share with you, because I think as we start to look at it, we understand and need to really focus today on who Christ and what he has done for us to restore that relationship that we've had from God and with God from eternity as humanity. We realize that Christ Jesus is the intersection of humanity and the divine. He's both the Son of God and the Son of Man. Jesus is our Savior substitute, making payment for our sins, while at the same time he is also the advocate for us before God himself, who pleads our case, who prays for us, and who speaks on our behalf. And I'd like to have you develop, if you will, a picture, a true picture of the relationship that you had with God from eternity. Now, this past week, Larry Evanchek passed away, last Sunday actually. And many of you know Larry, and you know Mary Lou, his wife. And as I sat down with Mary Lou in her home, we looked at from the couch, we looked at wedding pictures. And it was a reminder of the past. They were a bit younger, yeah. And you could see Larry's smile that, you know, kind of curls up. And he was there with a big smile on his face on his wedding day. Guess what the backdrop looked like? You're looking at it. Because they were married here at Trinity. And as you look at these wedding pictures, I also looked to the right and I saw somebody that Mary Lou said, "Do you recognize anybody in there?" And she said, "That one, my bridesmaid, was Peggy Trapp." And so we saw Peggy. And then I looked behind and I saw somebody that was the preacher. He had red hair. Can you imagine who that might have been? It was Pastor Wirtz. And I saw what was and what now is. And I saw a picture of what God had made happen then and what it is today. Perhaps you can think of your own pictures in your own family. And I know that my friends Paul and Brittany in the back probably look at baby pictures and they see Madeline back there and they say, "Oh, does she look more like my Brittany or was it Paul?" You know, as they're talking to their family and relatives, they start to see that their child looks like both of them. But if you're with, in my house, with Desiree's side, "Oh, that kid looks exactly like our side," you know, that type of thing. And when we start to see it, we start to see God giving us the ability to see in us our past ancestors, our previous people who were in our family. And what a wonderful picture that is. I'd like to share with you now from heaven's perspective, Psalm 8. "When I look at your heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you're mindful of them? And the son of man that you even care for him? You have made him a little lower than God and crowned him with glory and honor." And in the book of Genesis, we read, we are told that from the beginning, God would walk in the garden in the cool of the day and he would talk with Adam and with Eve. God was in such a desire for a relationship in his creation that he made man in his own image. He created him just a little lower than himself. And he gave him dominion over all that he had created. He told them to go forth, subdue the earth, be fruitful and multiply. And God was so aware of Adam that he also knew that all the other animals that he had made had mates, companions. And so God caused Adam to fall to sleep, and from his rib would fashion his wife, Eve. And Adam would look at Eve and he said, "Behold, this is woman. She is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh." God knew Adam that well that he knew that he needed a helper suitable for him, a companion. God desires a relationship with you. Isn't that wonderful? And from the beginning of time, God pursued that. In Psalm 8, we realized how much God loved humanity. So much so that he made him just a little lower. And when I start to look at the cause and the effects of our relationship now, of being able to fall into sin from our parents, Adam and Eve, being banished from the garden, no longer taking those walks with their Heavenly Father, I also see the love of God pushing into place a plan to redeem them and restore them. God would take and form skin, cleathering, clothing, if you will, to cover the nakedness of Adam and of Eve. And it took a sacrifice of life to cover that sin. And a portrait of what would happen to ultimately restore our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Later, God, you see, would send His own Son, Jesus Christ, to be the sacrifice, to cover all of our sins and all of our spiritual nakedness. Jesus would give the ultimate. He would give His life. And when you and I start to see that covering that came from that, we start to see how He was at work to restore us. On the night before, we pick up our text at this point, Jesus would be crucified. He prayed in the garden. He prayed for His disciples. And it was all about restoring our relationship with God. He prayed, "And I'm no longer in the world, but they, the disciples, are in the world. And I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one." Jesus' concern was about His disciples, that they would be kept in the name of the Father, that none would be lost, except the one that had been promised that would be, and that was Judas. And that they would be made one, even as the Father and Jesus are one. That was Jesus' prayer. Jesus would restore a relationship with God, and that we would be one with Him. His blood would cleanse us of all of our sins. Our sins, which had been separated us from the Father, were now cast and separated from us as far as the east is from the west, never to meet us again. They were cast into the depths of the sea, and God has now taken away our sins. And Jeremiah tells us He remembers them no more. No more. You see, Jesus has restored our relationship. We are indeed now again children of God, no longer children of wrath. We are sons and daughters of God, no longer slaves of sin. We're saved, not condemned. We pray to God and He promises to hear and answer our prayers. We can approach His throne of mercy and grace. As Adam and Eve walked and talked with God in the garden, we now go to the throne and talk with our Heavenly Father. And we do so in confidence. He knows us by name. As we are washed clean in the waters of baptism, He refreshed and He renewed and He restored us. My Savior, my Lord, my Redeemer, my Rock. And as I am washed in the blood of the Lamb and baptized, I am clothed in Christ. Jesus said, "I have given them your word," to the Father He says this, "and your word is truth and is life. Sanctify them. Make them holy. Make them holy in your word. As you, Father, have sent me, I now have sent them. I don't ask for these only, but also for those who will believe me through their word." Jesus was here praying for the work that you and I have been sent to do. And as we go, I want you to know that Jesus has been praying for you. For that moment that you will open your mouth and share that prayer with someone who has that concern or that need. I want you to know that Jesus is praying for you as you reach out a helping hand, as you make another casserole, as you pick up the phone and make another call, as you go to a hospital to stand by a friend who's at their bedside. I want you to know as you speak the words of comfort that Jesus is there. He's praying for you, my friends. And He's praying also for them, that they also may be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us. The work that we do here at Trinity Lutheran Church downtown, Jesus prays for. He's behind it. He supports it.
He's restoring it. He's renewing it. He's refreshing it. And he's sending us with it. Our work and our witness here will last not only in this life, but throughout all of eternity. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That's the key, knowing God and knowing Jesus, whom he has sent. And that's the message we can share as we worship, as we go to Sunday school, as we go to adult Sunday school, but also as we leave here and go out into our communities with our family and our friends, as we sit at the table with our people that we eat with, sharing the wondrous good news. I'd like to let you know here something about the Greek word Ionos. And I know you probably woke up this morning. I wonder what that means. What it means, it's the word for eternity. We talk a lot about eternal life. Jesus does too. The word actually has a deeper meaning than duration of length of days or years, or of quantity. It has more to do with the quality. The quality of a long life that has no end. It's a quality of abundance, of being made full, of having the ability to understand that as we live out this life, we now are living that eternal life, that abundant life, where our joy is made full as we serve our Lord and our Savior and see and understand that God is at work through what we do. I don't know about you, but I like being in the Lord's army. I love seeing what God is doing. And I love seeing his fingerprints on things that are happening around here. And I love seeing that I get to be a part of it. And I'm sure that you do too. As you and I do. What a wonderful thing that is for us to see us spending our life investing in what God has already given us. And to know that he's praying for it. And that he sent us to do it, so that others may know about this thing called eternal life, an abundant life, life to the full, and to be able to see that knowing God and Jesus is the key. And then Jesus prayed, "And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed." What does that mean? Soldiers receive medals for their valor and heroism. And servants and workers are praised when they go above and beyond what was expected. If you think about Jesus Christ and his cross and the obedience as he approached what he was sent to do, his mission was to save and rescue humanity. And the Father was glorified in it because he loves humanity. And he wanted that relationship again with us so that man would be restored to that position where he was created in his image, but also was just a little lower, so that he could walk and talk and have communion and fellowship with us in that heavenly relationship. You see, that's what Jesus on the cross did. He restored that relationship so there's no longer divide between us and God, but that we're restored and made one. The Father loves humanity and he even created us in his image. And now that that relationship is restored, he glorifies his Son, welcoming him again through the gates of heaven to be one with him, with the existence of the world that he had before all time. And here we see Christ, how deeply God loves us, and how much Christ loved us. He emptied himself of his divine power and glory, leaving it all to come and to serve, to rescue and redeem by giving his own life. He left the glory and the splendor of heaven to become flesh and become obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. offering up his perfect life in our place, Jesus prays the Father will now accept him and this sacrifice. And from the cross, Jesus prays, into thy hands. Into thy hands I commend my spirit, dear Father. Glorify me in your presence with the glory that I had before the world existed. Jesus prayed here in this garden at this point. Now we are restored. We are again BFFs with God. Christ has restored that relationship, and we are one with God once again. How can we walk in this? First, be in His Word. Be in His Word daily. Know that you're not just a Christian, but that you are God's child. That your life has meaning and purpose, and that you've been sent to glorify God. Be certain that you will and can spend eternity in heaven with Him because of what Christ has done, and that you have the promise of everlasting life and the joy of life here and now to the full. Christ has restored your relationship with God. What are you? You're BFFs with God. In Jesus Christ, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your heart and your mind in the true faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand. Join me as we make confession of our faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. Lord, remember us when you come into your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever and ever. Lord, as you have blessed this church, Trinity Lutheran Church downtown, for nearly 100 years, we give you thanks. We ask your continued blessings to be upon us. Make us to be one together in you. Make us to be, O Lord, at one purpose with your mission. As Christ came to accomplish his mission and completed it perfectly, and you glorified him, may we be sent on your mission, and may we too be obedient and to carry out the mission to its fullest degree. And may we be joined into you in a oneness with Christ, not because of what we have done, but only and always because of what Jesus has done on our behalf. We thank you for his restoration of our relationship and now give you thanks and praise. Lord, in your mercy, Lord, we praise and give you thanks for the mission of our day school, the K-8 program, for the nearly past 66 years. We thank you for the teachers and principals who dedicated their life and the students who came through these corridors. We thank you for the lessons they have learned for life. And we now give you thanks for their bold witness in their families and churches and communities in which they live and work. Lord, we give you praise for this and ask your continued blessing to be with those students who will be leaving and going elsewhere this year. May you also bless our teachers as they carry forth this same message in new places. They are truly as you have sent us. Now they too are sent into your world to proclaim your name. Lord, in your mercy, Lord, we now ask that you would hear the prayers that have been requested this day.
Most merciful Lord, we ask your blessings on Keegan Heck. She's a 3-month-old infant. We ask your prayers for a successful and safe surgery and for a successful recovery, and that you ask your blessings on this family and your love and support for this child. Lord, in your mercy.
Lord, we also remember in our prayers the Wasilewski family as they mourn the passing of Tom Tobler, Cindy's father. May you comfort them and gracious to unto them and give them a peace that surpasses all human understanding. Our Lord and Savior Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had broken it, he gave it unto his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given unto death for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, in the same manner, he took the cup, and when he had supped, he gave thanks, and he gave it unto his disciples, saying, Take and drink ye all of it, for this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is given and is shed for you for the remission of all your sins. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. As often as we eat this bread and drink of this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Thank you.
Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and bring you his peace. You may be seated.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Well,
you know, I looked in the back of my elders' book here, and there they are, the announcements. And I couldn't find them, but I knew what they were because Chandra sent them out, and there were only two. And it's pretty much the same two that we've had for the past several weeks. The one is Vacation Bible School. Roar is an African safari adventure held from June 17th until June 21st, 9 to 12 each day. Students and their entire crew will learn that God is good and will stay with them forever. Thank you to everyone who has generously contributed to the necessary supplies for VBS. Your generosity has been amazing and so very much appreciated. Registration now. Check your Trinity Weekly or the church website for the link. Tell your friends and neighbors to bring their kids. We need all the kids in Vacation Bible School. They won't do it in public school. Let's do it here. And I probably shouldn't have said that, but I'll get spanked later. Our Trinity Annual Stewardship Drive is wrapping up this week. Thank you for all you have turned, all of you who have turned in your pledge cards. So if you still have pledge cards out, please turn them in so that they can plan, we can plan for next year and have a successful year. Thank you so much.
I'm behind you. I just want to say thank you also for your generosity and support of our stewardship this year. Totals are still coming in and they're inching up. The pledges have come in just shy of a half a million right now. And with non-committed pledges on top of that, it brings us much closer to absolutely where our budget will be. And so we're very thankful for that. That brings it up around 800,000 approximately. I am not Bob Meyer. You may have noticed that. And he was scheduled to be able to speak with us this morning, but is not able to be here. So I wanted to give you just a word to say thanks. And also I wanted to remind you, you are restored and renewed, and you are BFFs with God in Christ. God's blessings. Please stand as we join together for our final hymn.
peace and serve the Lord with joy.